Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Today, before we go into the topic of today, I want to speak to two things that are really, really important and that I really want to share with you. One is something that it's a topic that has been really close to my heart for quite some time now, and I really need to speak to. And the other one is actually a request for your help and support. So yeah, we're gonna speak to that. So the first thing is something that happened to me during the week and prompted me to speak to this because it is important. It's something I had not considered. So I received a couple of emails during the week from a company that was advertising a way for me to easily grow my podcast. And the vast majority of the time that I receive emails like that, I know it's a lot of bananas, so I don't entertain it. But this was a person reaching out directly, and I like when there's a human behind things. So I opened it up and read it, and I was shocked because what they were offering me was the use of this system that they had created with AI, where if I run out of topics, the whole advertisement was many podcasters after a little while run out of topics, and that's the biggest challenges. It's the biggest challenge for podcast hosts is to have topics to talk to. So you take this app and then you put a few words in it, like a couple of keywords really, and you have your new podcast episode done. And yeah, so I just put those emails into my bin and into spam, and I definitely don't want to do that. And I wanted to speak to that, so I added it in the description of my podcast that no AI is used in the creation of any of my episodes. And that's really important. I have been, I love books. Maybe you've heard it in some other episode. I don't know, did I share it? I do write novels. And I also love art. So I am in contact through social media with a number of artists and a number of writers, and I love music as well. So all of these incredible forms of art, and I was already sort of familiar with the use of AI to do art, which is not art. I'm sorry, I very rarely express such strong opinions, but if this upsets anyone, I make no apologies actually, because it takes such a long time to do art. It takes such a long time to write a novel. It has taken me years to craft the last one. So to be putting a couple of words into an app and get a novel out of it, or to be putting a couple of photos and get what you call an art, piece of art, to be putting a couple of words into an app and getting a podcast episode. I've also heard, I've been advised by someone to coach through an app. So like if you sent me emails, effectively, I could just put a couple of keywords of your request or of your question in an app and then get an answer. I don't do that. I do not do that. Every episode takes me hours to craft. I write with pen and paper. I journal. I scratch away parts. I put in other parts. And then I write it again, so I have it on my laptop. And then I research if I need to. Sometimes I have to go through like painful experiences so that the next episode actually does come up, that like my life and experience, and then all the interactions with you, the beautiful emails that you send me, and all of that goes into each episode. So yeah, I wanted to speak to that because that's important. I am never going to use tools like that to create, to pretend to create an episode. And I am definitely never going to use tools like that to answer your incredibly vulnerable and open emails. I honor, I actually am so honored. I honor you when you share with me so vulnerably and openly. And I feel honored to have your trust when you do that. So that's very important to me. I wanted to speak to that because this is going to be more and more a thing. And so far there's no regulations, there's no anything to protect people that actually really do it for real, that spend the hours, that have spent years creating the art and whatever is the content that they share. So I have such a deep, high level of honoring and respect for anyone that does it for real. So there's a human behind Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers, and there's always going to be a human behind all of this. So that was the first point that I want to share with you. And the second point, the one that is the request, it kind of goes with that a little bit as well. My daughters, I have two daughters, and they are artists. They are incredible artists. Since forever, since they were very, very, very little, they've done nothing but art. They've done a lot of things, but like art has been at the core center of their life so far. And this year, my 9-year-old decided that she was going to make a calendar for 2024. And she started around September hand painting these images of dragons. She's very much into dragons. She loves them. So she painted 12 dragons in watercolors. And then from there, we went through quite the process to craft an entire calendar because she didn't want to use any templates. She wanted to craft the part where you have all the days herself. So I sat down with her and helped her through that. And then we sent it to be printed. So we printed a few copies of this calendar, and we have been going around Christmas markets around here to sell it, because her entire project was to sell it. And by selling that, make enough money so that she can buy art supplies to make art dolls, which is the new passion. And my little one is one of the most determined humans that I have ever met. When she decides that she wants to do something, she is unstoppable. And I love that because I was never provided the environment to be unstoppable. As you know, with a narcissistic mother, that doesn't really happen. so many put downs, so many moments where an idea like that would be diminished, would be laughed at, you'd be told you're too small to do something like that, who would even buy your art? I mean, it's ultimately it's a pile of crap. You're just a child. Who do you think you are? There are real artists out there and such, which obviously I do not do. I've been at the receiving end of that. I don't do. And also, another thing that came up for me was when I was a little one, I really wanted to do art. And I, for a long time, I wanted to design clothes. I was really into that. I used to do it all the time. I have like so many drawings of models that I was doing for dresses and all sorts of clothing. And I remember my mom sitting me down. I was maybe 14 or 15, and telling me how I was like, if I wanted to do it, it was up to me. I had to go out there and I had to go buy all the supplies and I had to get a mannequin and I had to start sewing. And I had to, this is like with no one in my family. Actually, I have never seen my mom even sticking a button to a shirt. No one sews. Like my great granny used to, and I used to watch her because I was blessed enough to have my great granny with me until I was about 9. So she did teach me, but not enough. And at the time, I remember, like, I mean, I didn't even have, I had a computer, but I didn't have internet. There was no Amazon that I could go on and get all this stuff from. There was no YouTube. YouTube was just barely starting. There wasn't like, oh, you go on YouTube and you look it up and you just, you know, learn all of those things. And I remember feeling so small, like, I mean, you're not offering me to help. You're not giving me anything here. You're just giving out to me because I haven't made this yet happen yet. I'm like 14. How am I supposed to make this happen by myself without any support? And obviously nothing came out of it. I ended up doing completely different things. And never pursued that, which is fine. For a long time, I was obviously devastated about a lot of things I didn't get to do. But now I'm actually getting to do a lot of the stuff I love. So that's fine. I'm here now and I'm happy where I am. But just to say that when I see my girls going for a project with such a with such determination, which such force behind it, I am like, I go into full mama mode. And it's like, I'm going to support you as much as it's in my power, in order to help you with that. So we went to markets and we sold a few copies, but not near enough. We still have a few. Because what she wants to buy, the material that she wants to get for her next project is quite expensive. So she wants, she has to reach a little bit more money before she can do that. And so what we decided to do, and that's where my request for your support comes in, we decided to create a page with a link where people can buy the calendar online. And I'm gonna put the link to that page in the description of this episode. I know this is really odd, but I thought about you girls because like you are, we're a community and I know that there's plenty of you here listening to this that can resonate with the part of the story where you had maybe ideas or things that you wanted to do and those things were not honored, you weren't supported, you were put down, and how important it is that our little ones gain that confidence that they can go for the things that they want to and feel inspired to do and build that confidence. This is not really actually for the money. Really deep down, it's like, is that incredible confidence that I'm seeing she's building with each of these experiences that she's going through, knowing that when she puts her full determination, attention, mind to something, that she can achieve the results that she sets out to achieve. So yes, I'm going to share the link. We have 25 calendars left, which is, I suppose it's a limited edition. Each month has its own image. They're all hand-painted pieces by my daughter that then were printed into the format of calendars. She did it all by herself. And as I said, she's 9. And actually, just a couple of days ago, so we had the whole thing done. We had the whole thing printed. And we discovered then, purely by coincidence, or, well, coincidence, I don't believe in them. Like, everything happens for a reason. That next year, from February, when the Chinese year starts, it is indeed the year of the dragon. Which we were like, wow, I mean, that's amazing. We didn't know. I swear we didn't know. I don't follow the Chinese. I always get to know what year it is because someone tells me, but I don't actually follow that. I'm not into that. I don't know it that well. But it was like, it was really cool to hear that. So it is indeed the year of the dragon, and the calendar is a dragon calendar. Each image is a dragon. So yeah, I would really, really appreciate your support in that. You can go and have a look at the page. On the page, I share the images that are in the calendars. You can see how the calendar looks, and then you can purchase it, and we'll post it to you as quick as possible. As soon as we receive the notification that you've purchased, we're going to post it to you, and you'll have your unique calendar on your wall. So that was the request. And then from here, I want to start talking about the topic of today. Which is really, really, really important, and is the sort of like the false promise or the trap that we might fall into, and the false promise by people that tell us, or they are, I don't know, advertising that they can support us. And the false promise is that when you do this inner work, when you go through whatever techniques and you learn about yourself and about maternal narcissism in this case, and you learn about your wounds and you learn about your trauma and all of that, that there will be, the reward is like that everything is going to be smooth from then on, that your emotional world is going to be like only from 0 to 100, never going into the minus, if we want to consider the minus as being the intense, challenging emotions that come up, like, you know, sadness, grief, anger, and all of that. And then from 0 up, like, there's like happiness, bliss, incredible satisfaction, total calm and relaxation, and all of that. That once we've done the work, let's say, like, that we get to a point that there is like this end point of the inner work, where we live only on the plus zone from 0 to 100, not ever go back down into the other one. And that is, could not be further from reality. It actually really doesn't go that way at all. Those waves of emotions, first of all, we live in the world, we live in a body, we have a human experience on this gorgeous planet. And so there's always going to be experiences and things that bring us some level of discomfort, then bring on emotions that are challenging. I mean, I can do all the work in the world, but if, I don't know, if someone insults one of my daughters, for example, there's going to be like a crazy level of anger that comes up. Or if someone, I don't know, if one of my cats dies, there's going to be an incredible level of sadness that comes up. So like, we're having a human experience, and these emotions are always going to be there. And they're actually a beautiful part of the human experience, even though they feel incredibly uncomfortable in the moment and very challenging. But also within the healing journey, which never ends, by the way. So if you are under the illusion that at some point this journey is going to come to an end, well, that is, I know for myself, that is the moment that I am no longer on this planet. Although I don't believe personally the journey ends anyways, but this particular part of the journey does end at that point. There's no end to that. Like, there's no end. It's an ongoing process that keeps going. There's layers, there's so many layers, and like every time that you unearth and that you discover or that you go through a new layer, there's more to work with. And that is the beauty of it. It's like working with clay. Like, you can shape it in any shape and form you want. You can, there's always more that you can discover. It's like, it's the beauty of art. It's what we were talking about at the beginning. When you're doing art, when you're creating, when you're writing a book, there's so many possibilities, so many things. So the journey never ends, because it's a journey of self-devotion and self-discovery. And it's not just a journey of, oh, I just want to heal so that then I can function. That's a different type of journey. That's not what we're talking about here. And something that happens in this journey is that we're going through the layers. We are stripping away all... We're beginning to understand, that's actually, that we get to understand what protective strategies, coping mechanisms we have been using that have not been helpful and sustainable. And when we do that, once you become aware of those strategies and of those mechanisms, the next step is to let them gently go. And when you do that, the intensity of emotions can actually, well, is going to be more. It's going to be more intense because you don't have the protective strategy there or the coping strategy there anymore. And so you're going to feel it more. And that's uncomfortable. But from that feeling comes the healing, because it's only when you go into that you can actually heal more. That's actually going a layer deeper. But that doesn't mean that then that emotion is never coming up again. Oh, but I felt this massive wave of grief, and so now that's it, I'm done. I've sorted the grief, I'm going another layer. No, because grief is going to come up about other things, about other aspects, and so on. So I want to bring a very, very live, actually practical example to it. Something that happened to me just 2 days ago, during the weekend. So we're coming home from actually one of the Christmas markets. My daughter was selling her calendars. It was quite a long day. We were tired and we hadn't eaten very well either. You know, when you're out all day like that, it's just you get to eat what's available and what's there, and it wasn't great. So all of that was the context. And my husband turns to me and tells me that he he's very respectfully telling me that he would like to do something that will require him to be away from the house for 2 nights. down the line in a few months' time. But he just wanted to tell me now that he would love to do this thing as part of his men's work and whatever. So that's nothing major. But for me, that is very major. So to give context to this, I was brought by my mother when I was about 2 years of age. So my mom gave birth to me, and very soon after that, she left me with my grandparents in a house where she wasn't living herself. And my dad went to a different house that apparently wasn't suitable for a baby. It was very cold. I was born in the winter, and it was a very, very, very cold winter when I was born. So they left me to live with my grandparents. Now, I was like, I was a baby, okay? I was very, very small. I was told these things. I clearly have no memories of all of this. But when, then soon after that, my parents divorced, and my mother, soon after that again, found a new partner and decided that it was a really good idea to go and live with this new partner in what was a really old castle, like literal medieval castle from movies with towers and all, which was very far from where my grandparents were and where my dad was. So she decided to bring me in this place. And I was maybe 2 or 3 years of age, in and around. And I was brought to this place that I didn't know, with a heap of people that I didn't know. They were the parents of this man, which then he became my stepdad. He stayed around for like another 10 years after that. And those two people, his parents, I have called them grandparents for a long time after that. But at that time, I didn't know them. They didn't want me there, and I didn't know him, and he was just a very very strict kind of character, and he just had his own ideas, let's put it that way. So I was put to sleep in a mezzanine in this tower by myself. And it was dark. And all the people that had suited me and had been around that I knew that were familiars weren't there. My mom was not familiar because she was never actually around. You know, my grandparents would have been, and my dad would have been the important people. And I do remember them actually coming to visit in this place. And that gets me emotional still. Like, if I start crying, that's normal. And they would come to visit. But then, obviously, come in the evening, they'd have to leave. And there was like this excruciating sort of goodbyes. And, you know, then them leaving me in this dark room. And I was like remembering asking them, can you just stay until I fall asleep on a chair beside me? But of course, I wouldn't fall asleep because I was just petrified of the idea of them leaving. So I try my best to stay awake as much as possible before they... Yeah, just so that would prevent them from leaving, kind of in the hope that they could stick it the whole night. I could stay awake the whole night. They could stick it the whole night and it'd be morning and I'd be safe again. So that's the context. So myself and my husband in 16 years have pretty much never slept apart because I find it extremely difficult to be by myself at night and to be in the house by myself at night. Of course, my daughters are here, but still. And I know all of this now. Now, I, for years, found it extremely difficult, just the same, but I wasn't aware of this story. I had never made the link with my past and that traumatic experience. And so, for a long time, I was not aware of this. I just knew that I didn't want to be on my own. I was afraid of the dark. I was sleeping with the light on, which I still kind of do, although it's a really, really, really tiny light now. It's like barely visible. For a very, very long time, it was like a lot of light in the room at night. So I didn't know all of that. I would just say, I don't want to be alone. You can't go. That's it. Like, it's, you're a bad person if you go, because you're going to make me suffer. It's just how I am. So that was the first stage. Like, make the other person wrong. Blaming them for being a wrong person to want to be away from me. That a good partner shouldn't want to be away from me. And such and such. So that's the first layer. Then I started becoming aware of it. I started understanding the trauma. I made the link with my past. Memories came back. Funnily enough, although I was that small, actually memories, I do have incredibly distinct memories. So there's parts of this story that I've been told, but I have memories of that room where I was, the mezzanine, the bed I was in, the layout of the tower. A lot of that I have good memories. Well, not good, but vivid memories of it. So memories started coming back to me, and I started understanding and unpacking all of that. And so from there, what changed was, okay, I'm not blaming my partner for being bad anymore. I don't need that coping strategy of, you know, having really strong opinions and truths about this that makes the other person wrong. I can own that that's just my experience. Which really helped in our relationship. That really, really helped. So that's one layer of the healing happening. You become aware and things change. You know, you're not blaming the world anymore for your own experience, but you can own that that's your experience. But I still felt really broken, because I had this thing, and that still comes up, that, I mean, if I was a better person, my partner would not have to go through this. He'd be freer to do the things that he wants to do without me having to have a massive breakdown every single time. And it came to 2 years ago when my mother-in-law was terminally ill and very quickly passed away. But in the period where she was ill, there was the query of having to maybe spend some nights, for my husband to spend some nights there with her, you know, with shifts with the other siblings. And in the end, I just wasn't, I tried, I really, really tried. But I couldn't, I couldn't. I was having like panic attacks and I couldn't do it. I couldn't be in the house by myself when he was gone. So, and I remember my mother-in-law, like, in the situation that she was, and she didn't say this directly to me because I wasn't in the room at that moment, but she said that to my husband, and he relayed the message, and he was like, it's okay. I still get really emotional over this. She told me, it's okay. I get it. And she actually, she had come to understand her own trauma of when she was young and her own experiences, and she hated that too. She actually hated being alone at night, and she shared that, which I had never heard from her before. I didn't know this, but she shared that, and she was like, it's okay, you know, Mark doesn't have to do that. He can come up during the day and the others can take the night. It's fine, you know, you're not, like, effectively, she told me, and then she told me afterwards directly, that, you know, I wasn't a bad person because of that. I was just, that was just my human experience. And she has been, like, quite an important person in my life. She's been one of those people, one of those women that I've met that have shown me mother energy. although they weren't my mother. So to receive that from her was very healing. And again, that was another step of it. Like, just letting go of that blaming of myself, to a degree, because as I said, those waves still come up, but it's like, no, it's okay. I just repeat to myself, it's okay. It's a human experience you're having, and your body still has that experience stored in, and you haven't gotten to the root of that probably. And if you never do, that's okay too. Just don't blame other people. Don't blame yourself. Don't heap a heap of shame on yourself. And another layer. And yet, so we're going through all of that. And the reason why I'm sharing this experience with you is because the other evening, so 2 days ago, when my husband asked me incredibly respectfully, like, and there was no, he was just expressing his own need, which is something that we practice within our relationship. My body locked, like I was sitting in the passenger seat in the car, like I was a piece of wood. My entire body, like my legs wouldn't move. I went into full-on freeze mode. And freeze mode is one of the things that can happen. You know, there's a fight or flight response. So you either stay, hold your ground and fight the threat, or you just turn and run like hell. And then there is that other response which kicks in when you have lost all hope. So like if you see a documentary where like the lion gets the gazelle or whatever, there is a point where they just go completely limp. They just abandon themselves. They accept defeat. That's the freeze mode. And that comes in when, you know, like you have, there's no more fight left in you. There is no way you're gonna escape this. And that I've discovered that years ago, because that, yeah, we go into a whole new chapter, but that was how I went through the almost 3 years of sexual abuse. It was like freeze mode. My entire body would lock and I would just go away from my body. So now when that happens, because I've also learned about dissociation and I've began to become aware of when I was doing that, I don't even have that coping strategy anymore. So the freeze mode, I feel it. I mean it. It's like my body locks and doesn't respond. And if I try to fight it, it goes into shake, like it starts shaking uncontrollably. My breath went in my throat, like I was just breathing so shallow. So I was I was sitting there and going through all of this. My stomach was just like completely closed and I was feeling nauseated. So all of that came to me. And so again, that's the training. So like the wave still comes up. That's why I'm sharing this with you. This can still come up. Triggers will still happen. Moments of extreme challenge, no matter what stage of this healing journey you are, no matter how much work you think you've done, it comes up and it can come up quite unexpectedly. I was not expecting that. So I just started slowly applying the things that I've been training for years in, and that's why I cannot stress it enough. This is a training, it's a retraining of your system. It's a retraining. And if you don't train, then when the time comes when you need it, you're not going to be able to do it. It's going to be even more challenging. So training my system and start, you know, not even, I couldn't even, it wasn't even accessible for me at the beginning to try and breathe. The breathing was way too shallow and I couldn't, if I tried to push it down and breathe lower, maybe into my belly or stuff like that, it wasn't available. So, but I could start working with movement. So just, you know, slowly move my toes and start working through that freeze mode a little bit at the time. I do that even when I do get into those freeze state still at night sometimes when I'm in my bed. That can just come, waves like that can come. So again, like applying that, start moving my muscles really slowly, a little bit at the time, no forcing. I can't just, I don't know, get up and go like it. That's violent. I can't do that to my body. So I need to do it slowly. And then from there, I could begin to breathe. another good thing that helps me in those moments. So if you're ever experiencing something similar, it's like I can, you know, if I squeeze my muscles like with my hands, if my hands can move, because usually it's my legs that freezes. That's the freeze part, is more in my legs. My hands can feel heavy, but I can still kind of activate. So just start squeezing, massaging my muscles. And then I express that. I said it to my husband. I said, this is what's happening. Again, I didn't tell him it's your fault. There was no blaming and all of that. It's like, just this is what's happening. And he was like, okay. So then he supported me, you know, like, you know, loving words, and you're safe and I'm here and this is, you know, it's just a need I had to express, but, you know, we're going to find solutions together for this, and which I am open. We've had multiple conversations on, I'm open to find solutions for this situation. So there's no, he's not making me wrong or trying to fix me. That's all been addressed in multiple conversation and a lot of work we've done together. But the wave still comes. So you see, a lot of it actually does get easier when we say and we promise that with this work, a lot of it does get easier. It does. And it's true, because that would have been, if I go back years ago in our relationship, that would have been hours of a fight. That would have been extreme. Like, there would have been tears and shouting, and then the next day not being able to function. Maybe a fight until like little hours of the morning, with conversations upon conversations. And then the next day not being able to work. And then the next day not being able to mind our daughters properly, maybe because we were exhausted and not being able to give them the time they deserved. Or, you know, our business wasn't going anywhere because we were always entangled in this messy places where we used to go together and individually. And so all of that is not there anymore. That was just a matter of, the whole entire thing happened in the space of, I don't even think we got to, like, an hour later we were back to like 100%. I was in my body fine. Like, yeah, we need to speak more to this, but we'll find solutions. I was beginning to bring on, okay, I could ask those friends, they could come over for those two nights, and we could do this, we could do that. So like, solutions were beginning to come in, and I was fine. So that would have been like, oh my, that would have been weeks upon weeks, and then resentment and a real, real mess. That was that type of energy and that type of undealt trauma and undealt wounds and lack of awareness was what nearly brought us to breakdown just about 3 or 4 years ago. Like, we nearly divorced because of all of that. So I'm sharing all of this because this is real. This is real life. No app came up with this. This is my lived experience of just a couple of days ago. So waves of challenging emotions come up. The intensity is there. It was actually my husband that told me in the moment 2 nights ago. He was like, I know you're feeling this quite intensely, and I bet you're actually feeling it even more intensely than you were like a few years ago. And I'm like, yeah, wow, yeah, it's true, I am. It's like, it's really intense. But because I wasn't jumping to any of those strategies. So there's like, it's like, there's two things happening at the same time. It's like you're letting go of these strategies, and so you're feeling it more intensely. But at the same time, the time that it takes you to overcome the wave and resolve it gets less and less and less. And that's the healing. That's the promised land. That's the amazing part of it. Something that it would have taken me weeks to process, it was processed and over in like an hour at the most. Like, literally half an hour later, we were sitting having pizza in a restaurant, like, fine. And I was still there going like, look, I'm still a bit shook, but I'm coming to it. I'm back. Like, and things that would have destroyed our connection with myself and my husband in particular, it's they're actually bringing connection. We feel more connected afterwards because we got a glimpse even more into the inner world of the other person. We get to understand each other even more. My girls were in the car with us and they didn't have to witness screaming and fighting and tears and like whatnot, like real messy. It was just like they were actually in the back going like, yeah, whatever, this is, they're just having a conversation. Mommy's finding it a bit challenging, but it's all fine. And they know and they understand now, because from that state, we're one of us is always able to explain. So everything becomes easier, but the intensity of the emotions remain. And there are waves that you're going to feel more intensely even, but you're going to have the tools to move through it, to navigate it, and to even get more insights about yourself. So that's the thing. That's why we do this work. And it's really potent work. I want to speak to that because like I've seen that happening in the program, you know, the 10 weeks program that it's now not currently available. It's going to be available again from mid-January. So keep an eye out for that when I start talking and announcing to the next wave. But for now, it's not. But the women that are going through it, there is that point where you're like, oh, I've gained all of this awareness. I'm learning all of these things, but I'm still feeling the intensity of it. Well, that's just part of it. That intensity is cool. It's actually, that intensity is what allows you to deepen the work. It's what gives you the next insight. It's what creates the next shift. Without that intensity, there's no healing. Without that intensity, there's no human experience. There's no life. If you want to avoid that intensity, well, then there's no work to be done. Actually, it's like there's no way to avoid that. If someone promises you undying happiness and total bliss without any intensity ever, well, I don't trust that source. That's my rule, because in my experience, and I've seen that, I've been working with women for the past 15 years and more. Without that intensity, we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. That's part of the process. And it's a part of the process to be grateful for. Although it feels uncomfortable, it is a part of the process to be grateful for. There's always a pearl, like a treasure, on the other side of any of those intense waves. The only thing we need to is just continue with devotion and with determination and with consistency to train the system, train and gain tools to navigate those emotions. So yeah, that's it. That's what I wanted to share with you today. As always, if you have any questions, you want to share your experiences, email me. The email is always in the description of the video. The self-love guided practice is still there and available, as well as it is the quick guide to create your sacred space. All of those are tools. They are tools and they're part of the training to support your system in navigating those waves. So make sure those are free. If you haven't yet, go down in the description and just download the guide or access the self-love guided practice. It's important and it is going to support you. And when you're at it, if you feel called to give us support and help my daughter achieve her aspiration of being able to sell her calendars and get the art supplies that she wants to get for her next project, my gratitude goes to you. And again, the link for that is in the description of the video as well. And also one last little thing, keep an eye out because this week there's a special episode coming up I'm gonna share this on Thursday. It's a special episode with a special guest, which is my husband. He's coming on to talk about relationship. He is a relationship coach. He's the host of the podcast Be the Husband She Brags About, which started, his whole work started after we just went through our breakdown or breakthrough crisis when we were near breaking up, and then we transformed it. And so it's potent work that he does with men, but he's coming on to speak to the challenges in communicating, because sometimes as daughters of narcissistic mothers, we go through a lot. We have like all these triggers, all those intense emotions, like the situation that I've just described that happened a couple of days ago, and that it's really hard to communicate to our partners. How do we deal with that part, you know, to communicate, to really make them understand what we're feeling? How can we support them in understand what we're feeling and what we're going through and all of that? So there's a special episode coming up on Thursday where we're going to talk about that. So yeah, I'm going to share it. Obviously, if you're on the newsletter, you're going to receive a notification on that. If you're not, just make sure you have your notifications on for the podcast. And yeah, keep an eye out for that. So with that, I'm going to leave you and send you lots and lots and lots of love. Bye for now.